Well, kingdom greetings to each one of you. I tell you, is the presence of the Lord good? Amen. You know, and if you have tasted, you know what I'm talking about. Thank you, guys. You know what I'm talking about. Does anybody have a testimony? Testimony, something the Lord has done for you this week in your life, something the Lord is doing in your life. You know, not a story, but a testimony, something, you know what, man, I'm so thankful for this and that. Does anybody, I'm going to give this opportunity. Anybody has a testimony? If you look, you might have. Amen. All right, put our hands together for our angel.
Yes. So Pastor's been preaching in 1 John, and I was reading 1 John this week, and 1 John 5:1 stood out to me. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has become a child of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves his children too. And the Lord has been really working with me because I know Jesus loves me. How much does Jesus love me? But sometimes I think, well, he might not love me tomorrow, which is ridiculous. But, you know, that gets in your mind. And I think that that getting in your mind keeps you from loving others as well. And everybody was made in God's image. So whether they know Jesus or not, they are in his image. And so we have to love them even though they drive us nuts. And Jesus has been really working on that with me because he is putting people in my life who just slay me. Like, I just cannot explain it. If you want to know the details, you can come talk to me. But every time the Lord gave me that verse that I have to love no matter how much they annoy me. So pray for me because I am daily with annoyance. And the Lord is working on me. So hopefully I can be more like Jesus and love like he loves.
Amen. 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 Thank you, Ange. You see, the Bible says we overcome the enemy two ways. By the blood. So what Jesus has done, we stand on what he's done for us. And then, by the words of our testimony. So when, what she just did right now, just empowering her to continue to be the woman of God and the salt and the light God has called her to be.
Well, as most of you know, we were in Florida for a week with our network, pastors, leaders. So awesome. Such a good time to be together, eat together, laugh together, play scum together. Yes. But what God has been showing me is that I want the Lord to want to live with us in my home. And so what does that mean? Not just in my life personally. You know I'm going to cry. You know I'm going to cry. But... you know, just I want the Lord to want to live with us in our home. I want everything that is spoken, everything that is played on the TV, music, everything that is watched, every thought, that would be honoring to him, that he would want to come. Not just so that I'm blessed, because I know that there's a blessing, but so that every person that comes into my physical home will experience the presence of Jesus. And that's just been my heart's cry this past week, and I finally got it on words. You know, sometimes there's that churning in you. Finally put it down, and I want the Lord to want to live with us. Right, babe?
That's right. Thank you so much for sharing this. I want the Lord to want to. That's a good one. Thank you for sharing this. All right, so let's take, actually, I can't miss this. Tomorrow is Elijah's birthday. Come on, guys, put your hands together. You know, I know Elijah doesn't want like to be up front, but if you are celebrating a birthday... tomorrow too? Oh, Pauline. Anybody else celebrating a birthday this week? Can I see your hand? Alyssa. You wish. All right, now, would you put your voice together to sing with me? Happy, happy, happy to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Pauline and Elijah. Happy birthday to you. You know, your life wasn't just an accident. God created you with a purpose. And we celebrate you. We thank God that he brought you in our family. We thank God that you are in our lives. So we bless you as you celebrate a new year. May you experience God's joy, peace, and good health. Good health. You know, wisdom, good health. So, I want to seize this opportunity right now to transition in sharing God's word with you. You know, this is not something I take lightly because I think, I know it's a huge responsibility to preach God's word. But like I said earlier, this past week, one of the things that really caught my attention again during our retreat is the call to preach the cross. That's a new word for me. I've heard people said it, but I've never said it. It's help me out. Unapologetically. Unapologetically. Whatever, you got it. It's a good excuse to tell you I speak French and Creole, so English is my third language, so it's all right. More devoted to stay true to the message of the cross. Because nowadays we live in a time where the message of the cross sound foolishness to those who are going straight to hell. This is the time for you and I to set our life in front of the message of the cross to see if we are following the cross or if we are just religious. Sunday morning, why do we come to church? Is it meaningful? I'll be talking more about that because for me that was my highlight this week. Because I tell you, sometimes maybe you know, it's very intimidating to be a kingdom preacher. Because you have everybody, you have culture who is trying to redefine even God. You know, people are trying to redefine God. Everybody has their own God. People are trying to redefine what a man is, what a tree is, what a car is, what a woman is, what, you know, what marriage is. And for us to stand and speak the truth, not my truth, not your truth. Unless your truth is aligned with Jesus, the word of God, the truth. At the end of the day, you're in big trouble. So therefore, I believe the book of John, 1 John, at the beginning of the year, is one of the books the Lord told us as a church to spend time in. So we've been studying in our home groups, and Sunday mornings I've been kind of picking here and there from this book. Today, this morning, I want to talk to you about he who does the will of the Father will abide forever. You know, in the past couple of weeks, I did read from chapter 1. Today, I'm going to spend some time in chapter 2. I also talked about some of the signs of a born-again Christian. And according to John, 1 John, one of the signs of a newborn Christian, you confess Jesus as your Lord. So if you believe in Jesus, you confess it. See, something, I mean, I pray for the church. I pray that we need the Holy Spirit more than ever. If you're feeling powerless, one of the main problems is you need a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit gives boldness. It says, God doesn't give us a spirit that makes us timid. I used to tell people, I used to be timid. I used to be a shy boy. Kendra knows. Yeah, she knows me when I was 17. When she met me, I didn't even like to say hi to people. I would go to church. I played in the worship team. I didn't like people. People makes me feel like, I don't know, it makes me feel, you know how you feel. For those of you who don't like people. Or maybe people have betrayed you. People have left you down. So you think the best way to deal with life is to deal with life in this prison by yourself. But then, bang, one day I encountered the Holy Spirit. I all of a sudden love people. I all of a sudden have this personality that's like, man, I mean, the way what you see is what you got. That's why I believe more than ever we need the power of the Holy Spirit to help us confess, profess. You can't just confess with your heart, you know, believe in your heart, but you also have to make it loud. More than ever, make it loud. You love Jesus? Well, you tell people you love Jesus. See, people, Satan gives nothing in return, right? Satan does what? Still kill and destroy. But people who choose to follow Satan, they out loud saying, I'm following Satan. And yet you find believers who are ashamed of the gospel. I pray that none of us are part of that group. 1 John chapter 1 verse 29 says, everyone who practices righteousness is born of him. So, you can open your Bibles, but let's read 1 John chapter 2 verse 15 to 29. I'm going to read from the New King James. It says, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away in the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. Little children. I love this part right there. It says little children. I was thinking about this yesterday. It says, I love the heart of a child. That's why anybody who abuses physically, emotionally a child, man, that person needs the death penalty. And not 30 years later. It's like if you abuse a child, because a child is innocent. They're pure at heart. When I read this, that's what came in my mind. It's like John got this revelation. God's calling us little children, and I pray, I say, God, give me the heart of a little child. Amen. See, a child believe everything, right? They believe everything. Dear little children, it is the last hour. And as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come. By which we know that is the last hour. Last Sunday, I said, we heard all the time people say, well, do not love the world. But what does that mean? What does it mean to not love the world and the things of this world? And especially the verse 17 where it says, and the world is passing away in the lust of it. And then now it talks about the Antichrist. We know the Antichrist is coming, but do you know, I love what it says. It says, but how even now many Antichrists have come. And I thought about this a little bit. Anything in our lives that's taking Christ out of you is Antichrist. Anything. Anyone that's taking you away from Christ is anti-Jesus. Antichrist means anti-Jesus, anti-eternal life. And I'm not saying you shouldn't go to work, but your work, be careful so your work doesn't take you away from Christ. Anything that's taking you away from Christ, that's taking Christ out of you, and I tell you, the world has plenty of stuff to take the Christ out of you. As a matter of fact, everything in the world, every day, what's happening? The world, it's easy for you to fill your soul with the world. You know, we talk about this all the time here. Many times I mention, when you're hungry, You know, you're very hungry and you fill your stomach with junk. And what happened to good mama's cooking? You're not hungry for it anymore. And I believe when the Bible says, do not love the world, it goes hand in hand, together. And it goes together with, do not let the world take Christ out of you. My prayer this morning is that the Holy Spirit would open your eyes as you hear me to see the inner Christ in us. Sometimes the inner Christ in us is our pride. Sometimes the inner Christ is me, is my achievements. I told you last week this. I read it from Miles Monroe. He said, success. The world put a lot of emphasis on success. But then when they define success compared to the kingdom success, it's totally opposite. Because in the world, success is like what? Help me out. Money, the world, okay? The world. That's what they think. You know, education, I mean, you should go to school. You should be educated. Okay? Speak many languages possible. Have a trade. I'm a plumber, okay? I'm not just a pastor. I'm a good plumber. Okay? I'm a mechanic. I'm very handy. I fix things, okay? So, you know, don't be like, I'm following Jesus and you're dumb. No, Jesus is smart. Okay? So the way the world defines success is completely different from the kingdom. And then this is what happened. This is what it says, success is not what you have done compared to what others done. Because sometimes we look at our lives, you're like, man, I'm a failure. Why? Because maybe you see your brother or your neighbor is achieving more. And I said it before, I grew up in Haiti and I did it in Haiti. If anybody is poor here in America, it's on you. No one else is responsible for anyone else's failure here. Why? Because you have so many opportunities. Success is predictable as much as failure is predictable. So if I'm 20, 16, you know, 17, 19, whatever, young, you know, those between 16 and 30, and I'm smoking, drinking, and not going to school, not planning into my future, when I'm 50, yes, of course I'm going to be a loser. But if I'm going to school, put God first, respect my parents, surround myself with good people, well, you know what's going to happen? When you're 45, 50, you might almost pay your house off. If you're working hard, while you're young, you still have energy, you're working hard, you're saving your money and all that stuff. That's the way I see it. When I read the Bible, it says, do not love the world, be of the world, be in the world, but do not. How do you say that? You got it. You told me this last week. I think I wrote it somewhere. So what is success according to God? When God looks at us, success is what you have done compared to what you were created to do. Success is what you've done compared to what you were created to do or to whom God created you to be. See, God created me to be Ricardo. There's no other Ricardo Francois. Ricardo Francois, my mom is the only one that says my name right. You know, so God created me unique. God created Alyssa unique. You know, Heidi, you are special. There is no other Heidi. So why would I want to put some other people's self-image on me? You see, and that's what I like about the message of the cross. One of the things Jesus does when he comes in our soul, he brings identity. Then you know who you are. Oh man, you know who you are. You're not in love with yourself, but you love yourself because you know you can't love people if you're not loving yourself. If you're not kind to yourself, you can't be kind to others. So if you are kind to yourself, you have self-identity, you'll be a good tool in God's hands. You'll find your destiny. You will find your destiny. I'm talking about inner Christ, the things that are anti-Christ in your life. Verse 20. Verse 19. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest, that none of them were with us. See, last week I talked about women speaking in ministry, talking in ministry. And we talked to the ladies. We said, don't let anybody shut you down. I mean, if God says, I will pour my spirit on every flesh, every soul, women, men, children, they all will prophesy. Who can shut you down? Oh, Paul said, women's not supposed to speak. What is the Holy Spirit telling you? I believe more than ever. Yeah, if you find a good podcast you can listen to, yeah, listen to it. Be in the Word. Shut down the other voices and quiet your soul to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying. Because there are so many voices speaking. Everybody wants to listen to this preacher and that preacher. But what about spending 2 hours in the sanctuary with no distraction and the Word of God? How about finding quiet time and to hear exactly what God is saying? That's the way He wants to lead us. But you have an anointing from the Holy One. And you know all things. Verse 21. I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it. And that no lies is of the truth. Who is a liar? But he who denies that Jesus is Christ. He is in a Christ who denies the Father and the Son. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. He who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. I told you a story a couple weeks ago about this young child who went to school and she was debating with her other classmate that one of them came out saying there's no God. So this other kid's like, well, of course there is a God. And then the school told the kid, you can't say in the school there is a God. But what about the other kid who is saying there is no God? So the whole world is anti-Jesus. And you ask yourself, what has Jesus done to the world for them to hate him that much? And everybody's looking for perfect love. He's the only one that can love unconditionally. And yet, they're rejecting it. Oh, open up your heart. Drink more from the cup, from the presence of God. Drink more of His Word. Be bold more than ever. Stand for what you believe. This is no time to ride the line. To ride the line, you know, playing it safe. If you're playing it safe, the world will eat you alive. They will shut you down. You say, okay, well, they come and take your house. They come and put you in jail. See, sometimes I think we should have a good worldview on the gospel and the kingdom, what's happening. This morning we have the freedom to be here. We choose to be here. You know, there are other brothers and sisters in the world who does not have such blessings. But yet they're joyful. Oh yeah, they're not complaining. Some of them probably slept in water last night. They're running for their lives. But yet, they are full of peace. Therefore, verse 24, therefore, let that abide in you, which you heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and the Father. And this is the promise that He has promised us. It's eternal life. These things I have written to you concerning those who try to deceive you. But the anointing which you have received from him abides in you. And you do not need that anyone teaches you. But as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things, and is true, and is not a lie. And just as it has taught you, you will abide in him. It's making mention of the Holy Spirit. And now, little children, once again, abide in him, that when he appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is from him. Oh, I love this. Everyone who practices righteousness is born of God. Period. So when Jesus truly saves us, when a person is truly saved, this is what happens. Jesus makes a difference in the way they walk, in the way they talk, in the way they conduct themselves. See, that's why the world has rejected what we call our religion. Because our walk contradicts our talk. This morning I challenge all of us. If you're serious about following Jesus, you must pick up that cross. Let Jesus be the Lord. If you're truly serious about following Jesus, Jesus must influence the way you talk, the way I walk. For most of us, the way I drive, poop, poop. Yeah? Because the chances when I'm taking a leisure walk, nobody's going to cut me off. But I'm in a hurry to go to work. Troubles on the way. The way you drive, the way you conduct yourself, like Ange shared with this morning. Thank you for sharing that. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, you all know it. If anyone is in Christ, that person becomes a new creation in the way they conduct themselves, in the way they act, in the way they talk. in everything. So as we begin to practice righteousness, our habits change. So of course you are in darkness. The message you heard from the beginning, what? God is light. There's no darkness in God. So you were in darkness. Now you are in light. You understand your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. So you used to be addicted to drugs. So now the light comes on. You know your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. So I'm not going to feed it junk. See, sometimes we think, well, you shouldn't be smoking. Yeah, you shouldn't be smoking. But you shouldn't be eating all the stuff we eat. Some of the things we eat. You should be I'm from the Caribbean. I know good eating. Organic eating. Some of the things we eat here, that's what's destroying our generation. We should be very aware that our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Not everything that tastes so yummy is good for you. So as we practice that, we will change. You will glorify God in everything you do. You know, Kendra shared that this morning. It comes with some of the things we choose to entertain ourselves. What do you entertain yourself when you think at the end of the day I'm so pooped and tired and I'm going to sit and watch junk? The Bible says denounce those things. Don't take part of them. Sometimes I sit around and trying to look for a movie. 45 minutes later I'm like, there's nothing. Because I check the previews on YouTube, whatever. You know, I'm like, well, there's nothing. It's like, because it's like, I don't want to be collecting junk. That's the level I'm calling all of you. Because there's no more time. The Antichrist is coming. But many Antichrists are around. Verse 17, many anti-Christ, anti-Jesus, anti-holiness, anti-righteousness is around. I don't know what are some antichrists you have at home. What are some antichrists you have in your heart. I pray right now that the Holy Spirit will shine His light in your heart. Don't let your children prevent you from serving God. Don't let your husband nor your wife. Don't let anything. Don't divorce them. But don't let anything stop you from going deep. I posted that on our Facebook. I thought about this. Hospitals. I know, Felix, you work in a hospital. Some of you work in a hospital. A hospital is not a fun place to be. Because there's this spirit about hospital. But people go to the hospital to get better, right? When you go to the hospital, you have two things. You get better or you die. You know, the church is like a hospital. You messed up, I'm messed up. We all messed up. We all fall short from the glory of God. But praise God, the church is the place where we all are getting better on a daily basis. I tell you, when you look at your life from last year, you should see, you should be able to testify that you grow, you're growing from glory to glory. Other than that, you're dying. If you are in church, you're not growing spiritually. Guess what's happening to you? Die. If you look at your life, your walk with Jesus, you're not overcoming your junk. You're not overcoming your bitterness. You're not overcoming your hurt. It's killing you. And if you're hearing my voice today, you and I have a choice. We have a great opportunity to come to the cross, make things right, choose, like, you know, the kids were singing, I choose to build my life on the firm foundation. A born-again Christian world live in this world, but knows that it does not belong to the world. That's it. I'm a citizen of heaven. I was born in Haiti, became a U.S. citizen, but man, I finally got the true citizenship. I got that revelation. Man, that's why I say kingdom greetings. Kingdom greetings, man. Everything you do, you got the kingdom minded. You go to work, you know, your job is kingdom-minded. You know, God put you in that position for you to influence people. So don't let them get to you. If you don't like it, change career. Find something that you contribute to society. You know, some people think that worldliness is limited to external behavior, people they associated with, or places they go to. But worldliness is also internal, because worldliness comes with those three attitudes, and I want to put them on the screen. The first one is craving for physical pleasure. It says, do not love the world, nor the things that are in the world. Craving for physical pleasure. Preoccupation with gratifying the flesh. I tell you, sometimes you got to drag your body to prayer. I mean, we do home groups here. We divide our church is divided in home groups. I always tell people, get involved. If you're just doing church Sunday morning, I'll tell you. It's like you're eating once a year, once a week. I mean, I hope you're reading the Bible and you're obeying. But how about prayer? A church that's not praying is a dead church. A believer who's not in prayer, in communion, common unity, that's you dead. And the flesh, Jesus said that to the disciple. He said, pray, because the flesh is weak. Let me break it to you again today. There's nothing in me, in my body, physical body, who wants to serve God. See, my fleshly tendency is more towards sin, gossiping. I don't know about you, I'm talking about myself. But thank God for the Holy Spirit. Because, you know, we're three-dimensional. I am a spirit. I have a soul, but I live in this body. That's why this body will die. But my real me is my spirit. So therefore, I'm born again. So now, between those three guys, they all know my spirit is the boss. Because sometimes my spirit, my soul have this fight between, there's this fight between my soul and my spirit who wants to kill somebody, but then my spirit's like, well, you know, you can't do that, man. You know, so it's like the more you grow spiritually in your walk with the Lord, you get to that stage where the soul, you know, when a kid does something bad and then they look at their parents, they know they're guilty. My soul's got this look, looking at my spirit, it's like, oh yeah, I can't do that. You go from glory to glory. But after you, when you were born again, it didn't, I mean, it's like the Bible says in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, it says, you renew the way you think by the word. So you're growing from glory to glory by the word, and that way you come to discern how to please God. The craving, physical pleasure. When we do once a month prayer, sometimes some of you, you're just tired. You can't come. Drag your body. Come here. Once a month. You like, once a month? Put that on your calendar. Once a month, we come to get corporate prayer. Go to home. Go, you know, I'm so tired. You're always tired. Not you. I'm talking about me. I'm always tired. You know, because I work and I'm not even 95 yet. You know, because that's when you're old, when you're 95. you know, I'm always tired. But I live not by the flesh. Preoccupation for gratifying the flesh. Watch for those things. Number two, craving for everything we see. Greed. The spirit of greed. It says, do not love the world. Meanings, do not let the greedy spirit of the world attach to you. You be thankful for what you got. You be thankful. You know, and that's why America is so broke, because everybody wants to have all this stuff before they can afford it. And then so therefore, we're in debt, we've got back pain, neck pain, all kinds of pain because we're so deep in debt. And that's the word, that's the work of the enemy. You know, the Bible says, whoever owns somebody, you become the slave of that owner, of the person. You don't want to be slave. Jesus came to set us free. Craving for everything, coveting and accumulating things. You ask yourself, do I need this? I don't get it. Like people have their garage full of stuff and they have 2 unit rented for stuff. I think that's idolatry. Sell them. Get rid of them. You have them in storage for 6 months. You haven't used them. Sell them. Yes. Call me. Ask Lily. I'll come help you out. Get rid of them. You know, less stuff to deal with. Get rid of them. You ask yourself, do I need this? If you need it, sure. If you don't need it. Number three, pride in our achievements. I said pride comes before fall. God resists the proud. He gives grace to the humble. And that's the heart I want. I want to be humble. I want to be humble. I don't want to be prideful. I want to acknowledge God is God. And I pray the same thing for you. Not only in achievements, but possession. I repented a couple years, probably last year, that's when I repented. This year I felt like it was the first January since I moved here. It was like, I'm not struggling. Even the weather. Guys, God completely changed my mind, changed my attitude. The cold doesn't bother me anymore. It doesn't. But then last year, I realized I was bitter towards God. You know why? You know you can be bitter towards God? Because you think God should intervene in my case. Why wouldn't he? Why would God allow this to happen? Why would God take me out of revival and brought me to Virginia Beach? I mean, I love my church. But I'm telling you, this is what I struggle with. Because I'm thinking, I don't need a house. I've got a house in the city. Ministry is blooming. I have 5 different Bible camp, Bible training school all throughout Haiti. I had my dream house in the southeast of Haiti in the mountain with Caribbean Ocean down the road, 10 minutes walk. Why would I come to Virginia Beach? So I'm dealing with this, and I'm spending time with the Lord, and here it is, and I'm sensing, well, you know what? I'm bitter towards God. And every year, especially when winter comes, I'm like, I can't do this. I like the sun, and I'm depressed. I felt like God betrayed my achievements. I felt successful. I felt like, you ask me to show something, I have everything to show for. I felt like a leader. And here I am in Lansdowne. Felt like a big fish, they drop in a little pond. Seriously. And so here I am, I'm dealing with this. I'm mad. I'm complaining to God. Sometimes I have little attitudes too. But then, bang. The Lord encountered me. You know what happened to me in the past 5 years? I've gotten closer to Jesus more than when I was in Haiti. Not that I didn't know Jesus. I had a good relationship with Jesus. But my achievements clouded things for me. And now I'm like, okay, Lord, man, you know why I'm so happy? Because I get it. I'm exactly where I'm supposed to be. I mean, I can't even go visit my dream house because of unrest in the country. So, but I'm exactly in the bosom, and I'm exactly in the center where God wants me. So I stop striving. I stop fighting. I let go. I say, Lord, be it, and it be unto me, not according to what I want, but according to your will. And I tell you, until you agree, until you accept the surrender, stop fighting. You will never, never, never experience the peace. I still got peace in chaos. I still got peace. I've got my own people. I've got churches. Some of our churches. I'm overseeing a good network of churches. Some of the pastors, they're fleeing. They're suffering. I got this message this morning. One of our pastors is like, man, I really need money because they can't buy food. We've got extra fridge. He says, tomorrow I gotta, he left one town to go to the next where the church is, and he hasn't been able to go back to his town, to his family, because gang took over this road. And he said, that's tomorrow. I must go to my wife and I'm broke. But today I got to do something. Because he's my brother. We share our possessions. Those 3 things, put them on the screen again. It says, do not love the world. That's what it's talking about. Your achievements. Maybe this is time for you to really let go of them. And cling to what God has for you. If you're a prideful person, I would challenge you. Let it go, let it go, let it go. Help me out. Just let it go. Just let it go, man. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. That's the only way you'll make it. That's the only way. See, most people miss out that they were created to do great things. I'm going to jump to Galatians chapter 6, verse 5. It says, each of you must examine your actions Then you can be proud of your own accomplishments without comparing yourself to others. Examine your own actions. Examine your calls. Examine. That's the way we teach our kids. We're like, you know what? God created you to impact this generation. So don't just examine what you're doing. Don't compare yourself with other people. And then you will find fulfillment. Galatians chapter, it says, assume your own responsibility. Galatians chapter 5, verse 7, it says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows for his flesh, will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows of the Spirit, will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due season we shall reap, if we do not lose heart. See, there's the condition in this verse here. So you reap in due season if you don't give up. And I tell you, us Americans, we can't wait. And there's nothing like waiting on the Lord. Jesus told the disciples to go and wait. What if God would really ask you to come and wait? Would you get bored? Maybe this is a season for you to reevaluate some things in your life. It says, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Now I'm going to ask the worship team to come. And I want to give opportunity to each of us to respond to the word of the Lord. See, if God spoke to you, and I know he did, because he spoke to my heart. And if you need to respond and come to the cross and make things right, or maybe you need to just make things right before you and him. I always say it, the altar is a safe place. You know, sometimes people are like, well, he came up. Maybe he's a sinner. We all are. You know, so as they sing this next song, I'm going to make myself available for prayer. If any of you needs prayer, if you need to come to the altar, kneel.